Good morning, brothers and sisters. Today is Sunday, December the 20th, and it's the last Sunday in Advent. We begin our worship service today with something special. Please welcome Helen Ely, our guest organist, who brings us our prelude. Please join me for prayer. Holy God, our lives are simply journeys from one point to the next. For these 4 weeks, we've been on this journey to Christmas Day, and this morning we're getting remarkably close. Thank you for guiding us through each week and each theme. And now surround us in love with your Spirit as we worship you this day. Amen. I want to change the order a bit today and bring you first our TPC praise team doing a song that was made popular by John Denver and the Muppets back in 1979. It was written by Bob Beers, so please enjoy our TPC version of The Peace Carol.
The garment of life, be it tattered and torn, the cloak of the soldier is weathered and worn. But what child is this that was poverty born? The peace of Christmas Day. The branch that bears the bright holly, the dove that rests in yonder tree, the light that shines for all to see, the peace of Christmas Day. Slumbered for 2,000 years, a promise that silenced 1,000 fears, a faith that can hobble an ocean of tears, the peace of Christmas Day. The branch that bears the bright holly, the dove that rests in yonder tree, the light that shines for all to see, the peace of Christmas Day. And all the grief that people may bear, total the strife and the trouble and care, put them in columns and leave them right there, the peace of Christmas Day. The branch that bears the bright holly, the dove that rests in yonder tree, the light that shines for all to see, the peace of Christmas Day. The branch that bears the bright holly, the dove that shines for all to see, the peace of Christmas Day.
Let's turn now to our reading this morning from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, verses 9 through 17. This is Jesus giving some instruction on the topic of love, which is our theme for this Sunday. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that is to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last the test, and so that whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. May God send a blessing to each one of us from the instruction from this word this day. Amen. With a degree from Harvard Divinity School, Edmund Hamilton Sears became a Unitarian pastor in 1839. He would go on to serve several churches in Massachusetts. Sears loved the passage from Luke 2, verse 14, which reads, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." He decided to write a Christmas song different from all others. It did not focus on the nativity scene, but on the message from the angels. Please join our TPC singers under the direction of Jeff Prince as they lead us in "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear."
Pray with me.
Lord, now may the words which come from my mouth and the meditation that falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. As I previously mentioned, this is the fourth Sunday in Advent, the last Sunday of Advent. We're just 5 days away from the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Each week I have preached on the themes of hope, peace, joy, and today we focus on love. In 1957, Donna and Steve had been dating for a while when they decided to spend the day fishing at one of the popular lakes. Wanting to obey the law, they went to the county clerk's office to obtain a fishing license. Steve asked the clerk how much the license cost, and the clerk said it would be $1.50, but that each one would have to get their own license, so it would be $3. Steve was a little frustrated, and he said, "Can't we both share the same license?" The clerk was quick to respond, "No, each one of you has to have one, but you only need one marriage license, and it only costs $2.50. Don and Steve were in love, and so he turned to her and asked if she would marry him. 63 years and four children later, Donna still reminds him that on the day to go fishing, he really could have been dollars ahead if he just would have stuck to the fishing license plan. Love is thought to be the most powerful of life-changing emotions. And that's probably so because when we talk about love, we talk about God's love for us, our love for one another, and our love for God. In thinking about this subject, I want to look at three questions this morning about love. The first question is, where does love come from? Many will be quick to answer and say, well, it's an internal emotion, and as one matures, they mature in their ability to love. The great theologian C.S. Lewis talked about human love from two perspectives. The first is what he called need love, and the other is what he called gift love. Need love is the way you fall in love because you have needs, and you find someone with the gifts and qualities to supply you of those needs. The problem is, according to Lewis, that as your needs change, if the person you claim to be in love with does not meet those changing needs, then you're apt to look for someone else who does. Contrast that to what Lewis calls the gift of love. This is when we love someone because of that love, we magnify them and enrich the characteristics of that person rather than satisfying our own needs. That type of love does not change or fall away as our needs change because it's flexible as the person we love changes. That's the kind of love that satisfies us. It's a growing love, and as we grow and change, it focuses on us outward rather than inward. When the scriptures talk about God's love for us and the actions Jesus took on our behalf, that's the perfect example of gift love. In the Greek language, one of the many words for love is the word agape, and that sums up this notion of gift love. In our reading for today, Jesus points out the process of this love. God loved Jesus, the Son, and the Son Jesus loved each one of us, and as such, we should love each other. This is not a needs love, but a gift love. Jesus loves us not because we supply some sort of need filled for by Jesus, but instead, what Jesus' love can do for each one of us. We should love others not for what needs we have that others can fill, but rather what we can do to fill another's needs. As such, this is a kind of love that does not come from inside, but comes from us outside, when God's hand reaches into us and fills us with agape love. That brings us to the second question, what does love look like? Felix Mendelssohn, the great German musician, composed many songs, including one particularly that I like, called the Italian Symphony. His grandfather was a great German philosopher by the name of Moses Mendelssohn. Felix always liked to tell the story about his grandfather. From birth, his grandfather suffered from a spinal disorder that caused him to walk and stand with a hunched back. This made many people look away when they saw him. One time he was visiting a professor, And when he walked into the professor's house, his eyes fell on the professor's beautiful daughter. She immediately turned away. All during the few days he stayed at the professor's house, every time he looked at his daughter, she would turn away, obviously disgusted by his appearance. One time, they met in the hallway, and this is what Moses Mendelssohn said. "I know you're afraid to look at me because of my appearance. I just want you to know that I believe when God brings a baby boy or girl into the world, God also works to match them up. I think God added something for me. He gave me this hunched back so that the one girl in the world who had a hunched back too, that no one else would marry, would find me and we would be together." At that moment, the professor's daughter fell in love and she would become Felix Mendelssohn's grandmother. This is how God showed love to us. Jesus was born in a manger to bring salvation to a world that was filled with imperfection, like hunched backs. God's action of love was to sacrifice for us, as the scripture reminds us today, that there was in this sacrifice no greater action that love can take to a person other than laying down one's life for the other. God loves us with the gift of love, and because of that, God acted in love to provide us a way for our imperfections to be made perfect, a way for our life of sin to become transformed to a life of righteousness, a way for the sting of death to be replaced by the grace of eternal life. That's all because of the way God acted in love. That's what love looks like. Our final question is, what does this type of love regularly require from us? In our text, we're told to love one another just as Christ loved us. But how do we act on that? What is it required of us? Lauren Lax claims at one time in her life she was surrounded by human angels. Here's what happened. Ever since she was 10 years old, she had an eating disorder, which eventually was diagnosed as anorexia nervosa. She had all the classic symptoms. She would eat almost nothing, and when she did eat, she would cause herself to get sick. She wanted to try to keep in shape, so she joined one of the YMCAs in Nashville, Tennessee. As she joined in on many of the classes, she became friends with several of the other participants, who noticed over time that her weight continued to drop at an alarming rate, and she did not look healthy at all. She appeared to become weaker as time went on. Several of her friends continued to ask her what was wrong and if they could help, but in true form, she continued to deny that there was anything wrong. Eventually, several of her friends got together and decided in love they needed to act, and it would be better to do it as a group. Lauren showed up one day for class, and she could barely walk. She was met by this group of friends who loved her and surrounded her with a statement of support. They offered to all go with her to the hospital. They said they'd be by her side and take care of her and take care of all of her other business until she got better. Lauren finally agreed. After arriving at the hospital and after treatment began, the medical team informed Lauren that had she not come in then, she probably would have slipped into a coma within the next couple of days, and then possibly she would have died. Lauren calls this group of YMCA supporters her human angels, just for that reason. They acted in love. That's what was required of them. They didn't do it for their own edification. They did it to help someone they loved to get through a difficult moment in their life. That's what that type of love requires of us. It requires that we be willing to give time and exert energy to help others. So some we may know well and some not. The love God has for us requires, no, in fact it demands, that as God acted in the story of the Nativity, the whole tradition surrounding the season of Advent and Christmas shows us how God's love comes to us, and God simply asks us to act that same way. The word abandon is an interesting word. When used as a verb, it means to give up. But when used as a noun, it's complete lack of inhibition or restraint. The contemporary music group known as Newsboys has a song titled Live with Abandon. The song begins in talking about the need for life to be more than just normal, more than just the mundane events. The lyrics then suggest that we need to get more out of life, and we'll do this, according to the lyrics, this way. I want to live with abandon. Give you all that I am. Every part of my heart, Jesus, I want to place in your hands. I want to live with abandon. Today we have reflected on love. We should love with the gift of love based on how God loves us, and we should act on that love in our relationship with others and live with Jesus in our hearts in abandon. Today, Lauren Lax has completed her master's degree from Vanderbilt University. She's completely healthy and looking for ways to love others as God has loved her and sent human angels to act in her life. May you continue in this season of Advent and as we approach Christmas to find hope, peace, joy, and now love. Amen and amen. We bring the vocal talents of Grace Ann Prince and the violin talent of Sally Fritz as they team up to bring you this morning this beautiful Christmas song called Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. You are listening to the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. We broadcast each week on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. Thank you so much for listening. You know, last week we ran into one of those technical issues with the sound. So we worked this week to correct that issue. And the two songs that were difficult to hear from last week's broadcast will be included in our worship service for the 27th. That involves Dawn Hollis with a Matthew West song, Hope of Christmas, and Korean Grace Ann Prince singing, Do You Hear What I Hear? We have an exciting event coming up for you on Facebook. At 5:30 tonight, we're doing a Facebook Live broadcast from our church. We're calling it the Glorious Night of Music. We've assembled no less than 15 Christmas hymns and traditional songs, and we invite you to join and sing along. Now for a big announcement. We're going to have at 5:30 on Christmas Eve our traditional Christmas Eve service. But with COVID, we're not opening the church, but we are going to provide it to our radio listeners because on that night, we will be broadcasting our service from the church on Facebook and live on 1450 and 92.3, and of course through live streaming and Alexa. So we invite all of you in our radio audience to join us for our Christmas Eve service, this coming Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Will you now please pray with me? Holy God, we realize that it is your love for us that has caused you to send and sacrifice your Son for our lives so that we can be free from our sin and we can walk in faithfulness to you. Your love is powerful in our lives. And today we recognize in this season of Advent that you call on us in the same manner to love you and to love one another. We also realize that this love must be put into action. Holy God, in this season of hope, peace, love, joy, and joy, use us as your messengers to spread the good news of love by our words and by our deeds to those we know and those we do not. And may this love bring to all a new sense of assurance in our walk in faith today and tomorrow. Amen. Our sending song today is a congregational song. Please join the TPC singers with a song written by Gene Perry in the early 1900s, referencing the text where both Mary and Joseph are told the name of the baby Jesus. The song is titled, That Beautiful Name.
Thank you.
peace, joy, and love, guide your hearts and your minds so that you may go in faith to love God and to love one another. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to our radio worship this day. A big thank you to Helen Ely, our guest organist, Marina Mitchell on the sanctuary piano, Sally Fritz on the violin, the TPC singers under the direction of our music director, Jeff Prince, the TPC praise team, and our technicians, Scott Humphrey, Seth Hood, and Matt Miller. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear. Have a blessed week, and please remember to stay safe out there.